Russia plays a big role in our next story as well. In March of 2014, Russian forces annexed the Crimean Peninsula from Ukraine. President Putin then went on to back a separatist movement in eastern Ukraine. Both events have faded from the headlines, but they've permanently changed life for many in Ukraine, particularly for the estimated 1.7 million people displaced by the changes. From Kyiv, Julia Barton has our story.
On a recent Saturday in Kyiv, children pack a room at the end of a long corridor in a huge Soviet-era building. The kids sit cross-legged on the floor or sprawl out on giant stuffed animals. They're all drawing. This is a weekly club for kids displaced from eastern Ukraine. While the kids are doing art today, many of their parents are across the street at a volunteer center that was set up when refugees started appearing in Kyiv more than 2 years ago. Victoria Vasilyevskaya came here from the eastern city of Lugansk with her husband and three children. We didn't need anyone to tell us that things were getting dangerous and we needed to take our kids and go, she says. Vasilyevskaya and others were welcomed with open arms in those early days. Volunteers set up the center to handle the avalanche of donated food and clothing. Vasilyevskaya says this place became her lifeline. I never get this here, she says, imitating a judgmental sideways glance. People feel at home here. You get kind words. And you understand that you're not alone. Even in a big city where you don't have family or friends, you're not alone. Now, Vasilyevskaya has become a volunteer herself. And there's so much work to be done, even though the immediate crisis has passed for most of the displaced. Moving to a new city is not easy in Ukraine. Here, extended families take care of children, and personal networks help people find jobs. Ukraine's government has finally set up a ministry to handle the displacement crisis, but it's just getting organized. And the task of helping some groups is huge, especially the ragtag army of volunteers who fought on the Eastern Front and have come here with physical and psychological wounds. I meet Alexei Morozov in a cafe in a military hospital. He's seeing a doctor for a head injury from a battle in the summer of 2014. Morozov had been a mechanic in the eastern city of Donetsk when the fighting began. He decided to join a pro-Ukrainian volunteer battalion, even though he's HIV positive. After a couple of months fighting, Morozov's group was captured. He says they lived more than a month in a police basement. The lights were never turned off, and they were beaten, he says.
There's no law there. There's only the law of the strongest. Whoever has the machine gun rules.
Worse, Morozov says, he was denied his antiretroviral medication for HIV. Finally, he was put in a work camp where his wife could smuggle him medicine. He was released in a prisoner swap 2 months later. Now Morozov tries to help other displaced veterans get assistance, but he says it hasn't been easy.
The government should provide all of this. We shouldn't have to ask them. They should be providing help.
Back at the volunteer center in Kyiv, people like Victoria Vasilyevskaya aren't waiting for help. They're bagging up donations to send to other parts of Ukraine where the displaced get less aid. Vasilyevskaya has been so outspoken in support of a unified Ukraine, she feared going back to Lugansk last year for her own mother's funeral. Despite all that, she's philosophical about the crisis that brought her family to Kyiv. There's a future here, she says. If it had to happen this way, well, maybe it's for the better. As for when she'd return to Lugansk and the empty apartment she still owns there, only when it's all Ukraine again, she says. For the world, Julia Barton, Kyiv.
Julia's story is supported by the Pulitzer Center on Crisis Reporting. Photojournalist Misha Friedman reported alongside Julia. Misha spent 2 years documenting internally displaced people who are also living with HIV, and his photos tell a heart-wrenching story. See for yourself at PRI.org.